One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed, and that means, of course, yes, I am Ken Napsok.
And logically, it follows that I am Joseph Scrimshaw.
And thereafter, it would be Jennifer Landa.
Hey! Everyone, here we are ready to discuss breaking news from a long time ago, or just this week diving into some interviews that raise some wonderful questions and thought starters, and maybe we'll do some rumor killing and rumor building. I don't know. We're going to dive into a lot of cool things here. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, we have our 4center recommends a book that we're actually reading and going to review, but maybe that we think you should try out on us. We had a lot of fun on Friday doing a live Q&A. And prior to that, we had a lot of fun doing a live Star Wars rank directly to our Patreon supporters before releasing it to the public, which leads Joseph directly into our current ask. We're having a lot of fun asking and receiving support. It feels good.
It does. And we have a double A today, two related but different asks. We've been talking a lot about the Patreon as of yesterday when this is released. May 1st, we released the next episode, Chapter 2 of Indiana Jones and the Perilous Podcast, a big, long discussion about Raiders of the Lost Ark that is available now to our patrons. Eventually, after Dial of Destiny comes out, it'll be available to everyone. But if you want to join us on the indie journey that is happening right now on Patreon, we're so excited that we passed our goal. So Jennifer is going to be doing a series of YouTube videos diving into great topics in Star Wars. More on that soon. But right now, that means we have a new goal. We are building to $2,200 a month, at which point Ken and I will do another Star Wars ranked live stream, just like this one that we just put out on YouTube. We originally did it with just our patrons on the live stream. Now it's available publicly, as Ken was saying, and it is a discussion of our favorite scenes in the Star Wars sequel trilogy. So if we get to that next goal on Patreon, we'll do another one of those. So that's 1A down. The second A is shorter. Maybe sweeter. I don't know. Anyway, we are really inspired by hearing more from all of our listeners and making future plans for Force Center. As you can all tell, we've really been putting a lot of thought into YouTube, a lot of thought into Patreon, and a lot of thought about the future in general. And it helps to know what people are interested in. So we're doing a survey. That survey is going to close on May 17th, 8 p.m. Pacific. Right now, we've got about 400 responses. We would love to get a little bit closer to about 1,000 responses. And then statistically, that will be a great representative of what we believe our core audience is. That would be a great result for a survey. And I think, honestly, that we've heard from a ton of people who are like very all in. People who support us on Patreon, people who listen to every episode, people who are active on social media. If you're a listener who listens regularly, but maybe you're not on Patreon, maybe you're not on social media, in particular, we'd really love to hear from you so we have a real sample of our entire audience, from kind of our most casual fan supporters to our most diehard. So if you're interested in filling that out, here is the link. It is surveymonkey.com/r/VJK8K79. Very easy to remember, I'm sure, by me just saying it once. It's also on our social media on Twitter. So if you want to check it out, you can find it there. That's it. Those are the A's.
A great thing. And just to support that ask there, personally, I experienced this the other day. I was trying to log on to Anchor, what used to be Anchor, for my other podcast I have. And a survey came up and I went, oh, God damn it. And I was like, well, wait a minute. I'm experiencing the other side of this. It's valuable information as we build towards the future. And the key word there is build towards the future and find the best way forward for us and you and all. So I humbly ask, as well as don't say it as well as Joseph did, who, by the way, has a second career in marketing research. the survey is great. So anyways, enough about that. I appreciate you all answering our asks. It's good. Star Wars Life Adventures always pops up before the news, and I can't wait to hear what you all experience, because I think there's a lot out there in Star Wars to experience this weekend, whether you attended it or not. So Jen, anything that popped up for you?
Yeah. So my kids have been sick. Just like it's every month, Joseph and Ken, I'm like, so my other one's sick now, and it's just constant. So they were both home sick, and my little one, the 3-year-old, we were trying to find something to watch because they've watched everything at this point. And she said, I want to watch that, which was Tales of the Jedi, and it was a thumbnail with baby Ahsoka. Now she had seen this before. I don't think that she remembered it. I don't know, but she's obsessed with babies. And so I was like, all right, let's watch it. That's exciting. So we watched it and she was obsessed. And my 7-year-old was really getting into it too, helping her get ready for the saber-toothed tiger looking creature that comes later on in the episode. I just was so blown away. And I've seen, I don't know how many times, but just really seeing the Togruta culture, I think is really cool. And so then my toddler was really obsessed afterwards and she kept saying, baby Jessica, baby Jessica. I'm like, no. You guys might remember that story from the,
How does your 3-year-old daughter know about baby Jessica in the well?
Exactly. I was like, Ahsoka, Ahsoka. So anyways, she was so enamored with her that I was like, ooh, maybe I can make her like, maybe there's a baby Ahsoka online that I could buy her a custom. There is not. I found one post on StarWars.com of a woman who made a toddler Ahsoka doll. Mm. And I got to the point, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I don't have the time to DIY anymore. But Hasbro, please make a baby Ahsoka. You'd make a killing.
Yeah, seriously. You know, for a company that gets accused, even going back to 1983 of doing things for toys, it doesn't do it as much as you want. So I'd love that to be the case.
Yeah, exactly. That was our Star Wars adventure for this week.
Beautiful. That's beautiful stuff.
Yeah, move over, baby Grogu.
Right, exactly. There's another baby in town.
Baby Jessica is here. That's amazing. What a time. What a reference. There you go. Joseph, what about you, sir? A lot out there to choose from. I don't know if you had the time to choose all of it, but...
After my sort of epic Star Wars adventure going to that Ben Burtt talk last week, I had a much lighter Star Wars adventure week, mostly recording podcasts, planning stuff, looking ahead to May the 4th. This weekend, I power read the novel Battle Scars. We're finally going to discuss it. So that was a great Star Wars adventure. I scrolled away from posts about Jedi Survivor because I can't play it right now. I don't have a PS5. And even if I did, I don't have the time. So here are the two small Star Wars adventures I had. I've been obviously talking about Indiana Jones. I wanted to wait. I watched Raiders. I got so excited about our talk. I just wanted to watch Temple of Doom immediately. And I was like, I want to wait until closer when we're going to actually record. So I'm going to wait. But then for lunch, I've been watching all of these old documentaries on this Blu-ray set I got that are from 81. It clearly seems like a very Lucas move, that Lucas clearly hired a filmmaker to be around for the entire filming of Raiders of the Lost Ark. And it's about 2 hours of total footage. I have like 90 minutes or half an hour left. And it's all just great stuff, seeing Spielberg at work and behind the scenes of Indiana Jones, because it really is the shooting. But then they're just fun details of, like, Lucas just seems like such an actual fan of his friend Spielberg. Like, Lucas isn't in the documentary too much, but when he is, he's just like, Steven's just, he knows so much. He's just, he's got it all under control. It's so great. We're ahead of schedule, actually. Like, there's this great, great love. And then there's one scene in the background where a very young Kathleen Kennedy is just eating a sandwich in the background. And I did the total, like, Leonardo DiCaprio point. Like, the woman who will lead Lucasfilm in the background, eating a sandwich. That's where it all begins.
That's right.
Yeah. So that was a fun, fun adventure. And then, my wife and I went out on Saturday night to stop at a couple of different stores. We wanted to go to an independent bookstore for Independent Bookstore Day. She had a coupon for Frankly Booze at a booze store. And it was being a real not Star Wars night. And then we turned the corner and they had a bunch of can coolers of Star Wars characters. So I did buy a Yoda can cooler. He looks, I'll be posting him on social media a lot. Maybe I'll do a Force Center short. It's great because the ears pop out from the can and he looks really judgmental, like you shouldn't be enjoying that particular beer.
Oh, that's my great. Gosh.
That's amazing. I think I have a Grogu one somewhere. Maybe we'll do a series.
So those are my adventures. How about you, Ken?
You know what? All right. I tell you what, I got in a Star Wars funk. And I just, I without spoiling anything, because I can't spoil anything. I haven't even completed the opening cold open of the video game. I finally cracked open Jedi Survivor. I was a little disappointed in the game, and I'm not feeling the joy of it. And I'm so happy other people are. I feel it's a Force Center test. Not for us, but like a lot of people in our Discord are just, they're so happy and they're loving the game. And then here I come along going, not for me. And I need the grace that sometimes we give other folks when they say we don't love Rise of Skywalker or Solo or something. I need the support because I'm working through it. But I felt real down. What's going on? And then just this morning was sitting there reading part of Battle Scars. And there's just a great interaction, a great conversation between two characters that just, I don't know, just one of those really fulfilling Star Wars moments. Where the intersection of what Star Wars means to the real world and what the story means to us and what we can take out of it and what we put into it, all those kind of wonderful spiritual things kind of was like, oh, that's right. This is why I love Star Wars. This is why we keep coming back to Star Wars. And one game or one part of a game not being for me does not need to dampen the spirits of Star Wars inside me. So it was a good reminder and I needed it. Because I was a little bummed on Sunday. I wanted to love it. I don't. And that's okay, because there's a lot of Star Wars out there.
Absolutely. I think that's a very good way to say it. We need to be honest when something doesn't entirely click for us and practice what we preach, and say exactly as you're saying, like, the gameplay just, it isn't for me. It's just not mm-hmm. clicking. And have that be something that there is space to say while also celebrating that other people love it. It's kind of interesting. We so often are able to dive all the way into television shows and mm-hmm. movies. We've fallen behind a little bit on the books and the comics, but we're often so all in. It's an interesting place for Jedi Survivor. Of like, I don't know when I'm going to be able to play it. Right. The gameplay isn't for you. I have no doubt that the story of the video game is going to be for me because I love the story of the first Fallen Order. I love the characters and battle scars. I really like these characters, but I don't know when I'm going to be able to play it. So it's this kind of fun thing to have this. There's this sparkly Star Wars story that I know I will love that everybody else is experiencing. Some people have already experienced it 3 times and posted it on the internet. Yeah. I don't know when I will get to experience it, but I am certain I will love the story even if I'm challenged by the gameplay.
Yeah, and it was weird because I was streaming it, which is also it's I'm happy to do that, and it's fun, and it's content, hashtag content creation. It's great, and a lot of people popped in to watch, but it's also a weird experience because I kept getting like, you got to get to this level, and then it becomes a little more open world, or lower your skill level. And you know, I was trying to play it at medium, and eventually I'll go to story mode. But it wasn't that. It was the repetitive nature that doesn't work for me. If you walk down a hall, you slice stormtroopers, you walk down a hall, there's 2 more stormtroopers, and they're all on lunch break, and you interrupt them, and you kill them. It was just a little repetitive for me. But it was funny. I was laughing because I was like, I've been on that side where a friend of mine's like, I just don't like solo. I'm like, but you got to get to the point. You got to get to this theme. And they're like, I know what you mean. I just don't like it. And I was on the other side of that, which is why I'm asking for forgiveness. Humble. I don't know. Humbly asking.
You know what I'm hearing? Mm-hmm. I'm hearing that you are imagining that all these stormtroopers are on their lunch break. And mm-hmm. I think this is just a celebration of you loving lunch and lunch breaks.
Yes.
And this is not a fantasy that you want to act out, is interrupting people on their lunch break.
Yeah, it's that Star Wars tradition of you walk up on 2 stormtroopers and one of them goes, you see that new TK unit? And it's usually Dave Collins and Sam, what we're doing, all the voices.
Right.
There's the same thing again. So maybe you're right. And they actually have a conversation about what essentially is space hot dogs, one of them. So you're probably very right. I'm defending space hot dogs.
Yeah, Anyway, I'm gonna let it go now. We'll talk about it more later.
I'll let it go. I'm not stopping. I'm gonna play the game. I've seen some screenshots other people have shared. It looks absolutely beautiful. I think I was like I like the characters, and then by the end of Battle Scars here, I'm like, I dig these characters a lot, and so I'm gonna follow the journey as best I can. So there we go. Star Wars awesome. Adventures, far and wide. And yes, all three of us did not get a chance to go out and see Return of the Jedi in theaters, and so many of you did. Joseph and I talked a little bit about it on Friday on the live stream. Just didn't work out schedule-wise, and I know it's still playing locally. It's not going to work out schedule-wise, but so all your photos, everything looked wonderful.
Yeah, I'm still going to see it yet. I was turned by I am obviously busy and struggling to keep up with everything, but seeing everybody's posts, and then my wife pointed out a later time in the week that I was playing, so we're going.
Love it. Well, you're going to represent all of us.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I'll make paper mache heads for both of you and put them on my shoulder. Well, not creepy at all.
Not creepy at all. Joseph will provide the update next week on how many times you've asked to leave with our paper mache head. Good. This is some Star Wars news, and one of those maybe down periods, but there's news emerging out of some interviews, and that's actually kind of fun. So in a 9-minute video for Esquire's Explain This series, Damon Lindelof sat there in a director's chair looking at an iPad and looking at all the things people say about him. It's interesting. I don't know. They're interesting video series. He was asked about him being, quote, in talks to join the Star Wars universe. He answered very directly, very briefly. Lindelof answered that he wasn't just in talks. He joined the universe and, with a little bit of pained laughter, was asked to leave the universe, in his own words. He also said he would absolutely get back in line and try to re-enter the club. He didn't seem too hurt about it, at least publicly. He said, of course, I'd still love to figure out how to do some Star Wars. And look, in these days, ruled by rumors and all those kind of things, you want to talk about how, we'll start here, Joseph. How do you feel about Lindelof offering some clarity, putting little quotations around some clarity? Obviously, we don't know all the happenings there, but he was pretty direct about it, I thought.
Yeah, I feel I feel great about direct and honest answers, particularly delivered with a sense of humor and a sense of reality. Mm-hmm. I saw these headlines and I was like, ooh, interesting. And, you know, the headlines contain almost the entire quote.
Yes. Yes.
Right. And then some of the articles are like, ooh, yeah, I gotta dig into this. What podcast was this? What else does he say? What's the context? And for anybody who hasn't had time to watch this 8-minute video, it's not quite Jimmy Kimmel's mean tweets.
right.
But it is a sit down and get asked a mix of fun and kind of challenging questions, like poking at the big things that people always ask you and answer them honestly, but with a sense of fun. It is a little bit of we're going to torture test a creator and see if they can have a sense of fun while they're poked about big, important things to them and their career and assumptions about them and all that. And he answers, I think, in an extremely healthy way, which is very honest. He could have just made a joke that entirely just, you know, says like, I'll let me talk to my team of 800 lawyers to see what I can say. Hey, I love Star Wars and moved on. Right. He could have. But I think this is something that some creators like Damon Lindelof, in my opinion, J.J. Abrams as well, they have been through the ringer of criticism and they intend to keep creating. And they have, I think, a pretty healthy, like, I am aware that people love my projects and some people, my name is a swear word to them. And I have to accept that in order to continue functioning in creating. And I'm going to have a bit of a sense of humor about it. So I do like that it was a direct answer with a sense of humor. And I do think this is a jokey way to say, there was an agreement for me to make a Star Wars project. I did a draft of the Star Wars project. It wasn't what they wanted. And so they said no. So I'm not working with Star Wars anymore. But Star Wars is clearly continuing to expand and I would love to try again. Pretty straightforward is like, you know, do you want to work at your local indie bookstore? Like I applied and they didn't have any openings. I'll apply again.
I'll try again. It's like trying to get into a comedy festival. Yeah, I really like what you're saying because I saw the headlines and there's another story we haven't really touched upon yet. And I don't know if we will because I can't actually find the source of it, which is some of the stuff around Tamara Morrison and what he said. I'll just be honest with what's out there. I want to hear it. I want to hear his perspective. But I just, you know, you hear it, you're like, well, just taking it at face value sounds really, really bad. It does sound honest at best, but I couldn't find just video of him saying it. So I saw the headlines too, and I had a little bit reaction of similar to what you have, Joseph, of like, oh, okay, here we go. And then the context really helped. Again, it was a detailed information of him getting fired from the project. No, and I wouldn't expect that. But it was just like, yeah. And that actually provided some sort of comfort for me. I don't know. I don't know if I need comfort, but sometimes the news headlines can be a little harsh and they can be spun into a harsh commentary. And I loved actually just seeing what he said. So Jen, your thoughts on this shot of clarity?
Yeah, this is why there are so many misunderstandings on Twitter, on anything involving text, because we don't know the person's in the way that they're, you know, their inflection and their voice, right? You could even say said in a joking way. Well, how is he joking? Is it snarky? Is it angry joking? Is it like, but once you see the video, it's really just kind of offhanded. It's honest. I had never seen him speak before and I'm a fan. He is charming. He is, I don't want to say self-deprecating, but like he gets it. Like you guys are saying, like he knows what his name attached to a project means to some people. And I just thought it was such a great way to diffuse any tension and kind of set the record straight. Like, yes, this happened. and it didn't work out, but I'd love to join them again, which is a little bit different than when I had heard Lord and Miller on a podcast, and they went, talked about it at length, and they joked about it as well, but it seemed very clear. Like there's no way they're going back. Like the way that things ended, I don't want to say it didn't end well, but basically it was very clear that they do their own thing and Lucasfilm does their own thing and that they're not meeting in the middle. So but I just thought that this was great. And in some ways it was like, he was kind of roasting himself. I appreciate that. It's like, wow, this is Damon freaking Lindelof. And they asked him like, you know what? It's not working. You got to leave. Even at that level, can you imagine? Like, you think you're doing a Star Wars thing, and it's like, no, I'm sorry, here's the door. Yeah. Oof, wow. But
it's funny you bring up Lord Miller. I was going to say a little sub conversation out of this. It's interesting the reactions to his name and his name in Star Wars and his name being asked to leave Star Wars. It's so varied because I felt Lord Miller, and even now, I think they're loved a little bit more widely at this point in their careers because of a lot of the In the Spider-Verse stuff and things they've done in the past. And so I don't think a lot of benefit of the doubt given to anything on the Lucasfilm side. And again, it's a large corporation. It's no one's asking, you know, inside asking them to defend the company, asking us to, I should say, but you know what I mean? Where it's just like, that was a mistake. This and that. But Lindelof's name, I literally could ask four friends and it would be split down the middle on whether they like him or not.
Right.
And it's just interesting to see that conversation around the Star Wars world. Well, I have some people who are celebrating this decision. And then I have other people who are like, boo, boo, this should have the big mistake. So it's just a fun side note to it all. So here's the other thing too. There was rumors, or at least a big giant rumor headline that came out around the same time. And I thought that, oh, maybe he is speaking to those rumors in this video, and he's not, but I was too far down the path of, ooh, let's just talk about this to pull back. I'll admit that there. So it was mentioned in the Esquire article surrounding this video, and so echoed by Esquire, are there these rumors running wild that the Lindelof-led, along with Justin Britt Gibson, story revolved around an elderly Ray. You know, that's the term going around. What is elderly? I'm elderly to some people.
Everyone over 25 is elderly in our society.
Right. Right.
Maybe a legally, can get your AARP card Ray training two Jedi Knights, one played by Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, which was a part of the larger rumor. So again, just a rumor. But some of that stuff is interesting. And I think some of the conversation around it, already started to get frustrating, as if it's yay or nay, you can only have one or the other. And I'll just start by saying, as we play the rumor game, I do like both ideas. I think I like one better. I think it makes more business sense at this point in time, but we'll talk about that there. But I want to play the game a little bit here and start with you, Jen. What do we like about this idea? Because maybe one day we could get it. Maybe the club opens up again and Lindelof can get back in line with this idea. What do we like about that idea?
I'm laughing because when I saw this rumor on Twitter, which I've not been on Twitter very often for this very reason, I laughed because elderly made me think of somebody like really old, like 90. And then they said Helen Mirren. I'm like, Helen Mirren is like, she's thriving. She's not elderly. She was just at Willie Nelson's concert last night, backstage. Like, come on. I love this idea because I cannot. Can you imagine? They're like, the new Star Wars movie. Star Wars is back in theaters starring Helen Mirren. Oh my, the fandom would explode. They would explode. I would love it, but we know that's not gonna drive people, well, the fans, perhaps some fans, to the box office. Story-wise, I think bringing back a younger Rey makes sense. I was already thinking about how I'm going to get my daughter, my 7-year-old. It'll be perfect for her. I'm going to catch her up to speed with a sequel trilogy, and then we'll be able to go see this new movie in theaters. But I could see a Helen Mirren-type character if she was almost like a Dumbledore overseeing a bunch of younger people. I think that could really work. Or, you know what? Maybe like 15... 15 years from now, when all of the Star Wars fans have really aged up, they're going to want to do like an Expendables type Star Wars movie for us. Can you imagine? Oh, gosh. But I love the idea of a 77-year-old woman training two Jedi Knights. That would be pretty badass.
There's something cool about it. I'm not immediately, like I said, I don't think it's a yay or nay. Why not have both eventually, Joseph? There's something that I really like about this. But what do you like about this idea? Maybe there's negative things we all have, but what do you like about the idea?
Yeah, I mean, before I can allow myself to even consider the idea, I have to really process how deep the rumors are. In the Esquire article, there's a link on, like, these rumors have been running wild. When you click that link, it takes you to a Hollywood Reporter article about that we've all discussed and read about the whole Lindelof project. That article contains nothing about the speculation that it's elderly Helen Mirren-Ray training two Jedi Knights.
Helen Mirren-Ray. Oh, I love this.
When the link to the rumors don't even contain the rumors, I get my dump truck of salt to take the rumor with. So just wanted to say that, because maybe it's true that that's what the pitch was.
Yeah,
really, really, maybe not too.
Yeah.
But if that's what the Lindelof Britt Gibson script was, I really like the idea. I particularly like the idea of a wise mentor Jedi of advanced years, 77. I was joking that everyone over 25 is made to feel elderly by our society, but I think that's being pushed back on more and more. There's so many older people thriving, like Harrison Ford and, you know, presidents and stuff. Helen Mirren, absolutely extremely active at 77. Judi Dench still out there, you know. Endless examples of older people still thriving. I think the picture of an older Jedi Knight with two younger Jedi Knights is great. I don't know that I need it to be Rey or that it's my first choice for it to be Rey. Like, I'd love to see that story just randomly in the High Republic. I love Jocasta Nu. Let's make a Jocasta Nu movie with Helen Mirren.
Now you're talking.
I think for me, we'll get into it more, but I think I'm really affected by not wanting to skip over Rey's prime when we have an actor in their prime. I think that's what I have a hard time getting past. It's kind of a weird comparison. I love the Daniel Craig James Bond movies, but it always sort of frustrated me that the first two films are an origin story of how he became 007. And then we get three movies where the message is he's getting too old for this bleep. Like, he just like, particularly the jump from Quantum of Solace to Skyfall. The movies work well. I love the movies, but it, like, one movie where he's in his prime,
right,
you know. And I think for me, I would have been thrilled by the movie. I would have been thrilled by Helen Mirren-Ray. If that's true, I would have went. I would have enjoyed it. I would have celebrated it. But there'd be a part of me of like, why are we skipping over the prime? What is the reason? Is there a reason we're skipping over the prime?
Yeah, well, I think that transitions nicely. And my two cents are, I really do like this idea. And I actually agree with your point, Joseph, that it could be anyone, not just the character Rey. But I'm excited that people would have an interest in long-term Rey and what, you know, even looking at Mangold's Dawn of the Jedi thing. We were talking about this on the live stream Friday about this you know, biblical Ten Commandments, Cain versus Abel kind of thing. What happens with these two Jedis that she's training and what's the conflict? That's all very interesting, and I'd love to get to it. But to transition to it, you're exactly in line where I'm thinking is this is as if in 1993, George said, screw it, we're doing episode 7. And we get to experience what a lot of people do feel they're missing. And what, you know, this isn't a conversation about Last Jedi, but just a general thing of like, hey, Force Awakens, Last Jedi, we got older Luke and he's on a hill. And there's been a lot of things that have happened because we didn't get a chance to tell those stories with Mark Hamill in 1993 or 2001. All right, we went a different direction. And now we have a chance. The Star Wars is so... just ex- expansive in what it offers to us all now that now we have a chance to like you're saying, Ray in our prime about now we get to experience. We got 15 years and there's 15 years of stories to learn about how we got to that point. But, and even that 15 years could be, you know, who knows, relative or just a guesstimate at this point, even though it was said directly, they could that could change along the way. But, you know, we get to do this. So let's experience it. And that goes with the excitement of Finn or Poe or Larma Daisy or Aft Ackbar, any of those characters. We talked a lot about the story possibilities last time out, and we probably will again about the episode 10 idea. I like this movie have its own identity, but we do get to live in a time period closer to the events of Rise of Skywalker, and that's exciting for me as a fan too. So,
Yep.
Jen, your thoughts there?
I think I'm really excited about seeing Rey in her prime. And the reason why is I've had a really difficult time with my kids introducing them to the original trilogy, because when we have, my daughter did love A New Hope, but every time she's like, when's Leia coming back? When's Leia? And part of the reason why is because now there is such a plethora of movies that she can watch, specifically Disney, with female protagonists. And that's a cathartic experience for her. And yeah, she likes young Anakin and she thinks that that's really fun, but she's really attached to Rey. And she was playing Lego Star Wars this morning and she's like, I don't want to be BB-8. I want to be Rey. And she was getting really frustrated. And that's when it dawned on me where I was like, oh, she's probably ready for The Force Awakens. This could be, and see, I was just imagining how it's going to blow her mind. And then I was envisioning, like I said, you know, 2025, where I get to take her to this new Star Wars film and Rey at the center. Not that she's necessarily the lead, right? Mm-hmm. But going on that journey, it's something that I always wanted when I was a kid. I was like, what happens after Return of the Jedi? I want to see Leia training. And, you know, we never saw that. And so it would be really cool, or it is really cool, that we're going to hopefully see some version of that for kids who are now growing up with these new characters.
Yeah. It's just of the time. I remember like when we were waiting for that Kenobi movie, Joseph, you were like, we have the actor, we have the perfect time.
Yes.
It's gotta happen. And we got to experience it. So yeah, Joseph, more thoughts from you, I'm sure. But I'm right in line with what you're thinking. Prime Ray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Prime Rey. Yeah, I think, and it's not that I don't love the idea of elderly Rey. And as you're saying, Ken, I do want to see that story someday. That's powerful. But I think there's also that possibility that we've seen that recently with yes. Luke truly reaching at a much younger age, reaching his twilight. The first Star Wars film is Obi-Wan Kenobi, the mentor, reaching his twilight and really ready to hand the baton. If this movie continues to be, it's 15 years after the events of the sequel trilogy, that puts Rey at about 35 years old.
Oh.
Rey is 19 in The Force Awakens. Not that much time passes over the course of the sequel trilogy. You know, leave a little bit of wiggle room for, hey, different planets have different daily rotations. Age is probably a little harder to nail down in the galaxy far, far away. But around 35 years old, even if she's not the one central main character, even if it's an ensemble, even if she doesn't go on like a big journey of change, but she is a steadfast presence who is challenged and must rise to the challenge. 35 years old while trying to bring up the next generation is an age and perspective that we haven't spent a lot of time with in Star Wars outside of arguably Obi-Wan in the prequels. It is, I think, a part of a lot of people's life journey that we haven't been spending a lot of time with. We spend a lot of time with coming of age stories. More recently, I think partially because we've been so, culture has been interested in rebooting and revisiting, we've actually been really lucky to be spending time with older characters looking back at kind of the totality of their lives. What we haven't spent time with is Rey being like, I'm still living my life. I'm an adult who still needs and wants things. There's still decades ahead of me, but also I'm a caregiver. Honestly, like this feels to me like a mom movie. If she's trying to raise kids, like I'm still in the prime of my life. I'm 35 and I have things I want to do and I want to be. And one of them is to raise the next generation. It's just not a perspective that we've sat with a ton. Maybe Hera, not in it from a Jedi perspective, but maybe Hera fits into this slot, you know? But for the Jedi, the arc of the Jedi from those first steps, those coming of age, those crucial choices, we've got a ton of that. We've got a ton of looking back and passing the baton to the next generation. We don't have the smack dab in the middle, again, with the exception of Obi-Wan in the prequels.
I really love what you're saying here. This is a player who's still signed the big contract and has got 6 years in New York. All right, this is top of the flight, Ray. But as much as we talk about the building blocks of Star Wars that are always present, new and old, generational change, that will be there. But in the big screen on a big giant way, this would be a little bit of a break in format, right? In a roundabout sort of way. I think the Kenobi series is its different vibes. One of the reasons I'm so thankful for it to get a character at a different point. Yeah. And again, if we had Luke Skywalker in 1993, Heir to the Empire novels aside, or even if George did that directly, which I don't think would be the case, that's what I'm talking about. That's what's exciting to me. And there's a lot of possibilities. I love this angle, but Jen, we'll bring in you here with your valuable perspective on something like this. Ray, with a lot of things on her plate and wanting to do all of it, what do you think about all that?
I love it. And, I had to look at her age because I was like, oh, she's going to have to be aging up. No, I still think of her as 20 something. She's 31 years old. So this is kind of perfect for her. And it is exciting that we're in an age where we can get this main actor in her prime living out these fantasies that we have about this character. It's really thrilling. Yeah. But, would I love to see Jane Fonda in a Star Wars movie? Sure, why not? She's 86.
Yeah.
Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, let's do this.
Yeah, let's do it. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine the two of them in Star Wars? Oh, boy.
I mean, they belong in Mando season 4 then. Let's just
They're probably filming right now for Mando season 4.
Are they Star Wars fans? Because, that's what they said about Jack Black and Lizzo. If they're Star Wars fans, they're in.
We need to meet Pelly's relatives, and I think those two would be great as Pelly's relatives. Oh,
like if they're Pelly's moms.
Yep.
It could happen.
All right. Let me see. Do I have Favreau's number? He was not.
Right.
Okay. This is great. No, I love this stuff here. This is when the rumor game angers me, but sometimes the stories or the potentials and the what ifs are fun to talk about, and that's. That's the balance I'm trying to find here. And I love this. I think you both have great thoughts on this here. We'll keep you updated, or you keep us updated. Sometimes you all post some wonderful things in the Star Wars news section on Discord and I go, oh, I missed that. Oh, here's a great little Lindelof interview. So thank you to all of you who helped me put the news together. We're going to take a quick break. But speaking of Favreau and Filoni, they sat for another interview. They seem to do that a lot these days. Mm-hmm. And a lot of cool things come out of it sometimes there. So we're going to take a quick break before we do. It's our Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what do we have?
After many, many times of recommending a book, I'm proud to finally be able to recommend a book that I've actually finished reading at the time I recommend it. I read Battle Scars by Sam Meggs this weekend. Ken and I are going to be discussing it very soon. So if you want to give it a try and you prefer the audiobooks, you can check it out in audiobook form.
Check it out. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Free audiobook. All right, quick break. Other side, we got John and Dave sitting down for an interview. Stick around for more ForceCenter.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome back to Force Center. Ken Napsok, Jennifer Letta, Joseph Scrimshaw, taking a look at all the latest Star Wars news. And we have another look, so to speak, at the forthcoming New Republic film. Jon Favreau, or Favreau, you got to put the emphasis on the row for some folks there. Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni once again sat down for an interview, this time for Entertainment Weekly's relatively new 58-episode podcast called The Dagobah Dispatch. Honestly, say I didn't really know they had that till this week, so that's cool. They were asked about the forthcoming New Republic-era film being a, quote, Avengers-style team-up. And I think, hey, that's a fair question. But maybe we'll finally get some clarification on that, despite Kathleen Kennedy's previous soft rebuttal of that idea. So we went to the interview. If you're checking the link, you want to hear it yourself, about 41 minutes into the episode, you get the soundbite there, a little soundbite interview. And this is what Filoni said. We're in the right area code. We are definitely in the right space. I think it's going to be clamoring of a character saying, how do I get in this picture? And that's what John and I have been figuring out. So Filoni's answers, like any piece of art, can be taken many ways. So Jennifer, how do you take that answer in regards to the Avengers style team up question, which the article said that's what they asked, but even the question was a little vague. So what do you think?
Well, Filoni laughs right before he says we're in the right area code. And let me tell you, I listened to that several times. I was dissecting that laugh. I'm like, okay. So you're telling me there's a chance. That's basically how I reacted to it. Because I mean, look, if they do include Mando, Grogu, Ahsoka, Boba Fett, who knows who else in this movie, people will be lining up to see it. There is no doubt. They know this, but at the same time, they want to make sure it makes sense story-wise. And I just feel like I'm a kid waiting for Christmas to happen. Like, what are you guys going to give us? What are you going to give us? Because I think they want it, but they want to make sure it's right.
Yeah. No, that's one of the big points to come out of it there. So I like what you're saying there about that. And yeah, analyzing Filoni's sometimes a little, half smirk kind of smile answers. Mm-hmm. It's kind of fun. Joseph, what's your thoughts on this? And I'll say this, Avengers style team up to me has become the new dark and gritty, just kind of out there, because There's a lot of characters from different places. It must be an Avengers style team up. So I don't think it's an incorrect thought. I just, there's not a lot of evidence that whatever people expect with that is not necessarily what they might get, but we'll see. What do you think about this answer?
Yeah, it's really interesting to think all the different ways that different people might interpret Avengers style team up and what that means and what baggage would come with that. To me, it's important that the interviewer, I do not think, says the A word, Avengers. I believe what the interviewer talks about how they're building the Mandoverse, all these different shows. And then the interviewer says, is that the place, meaning the movie, is that the place we might see all these forces combine?
Right. Which,
fair enough, that is like, yes, are these different characters, many of whom are already know one another and are already together and have a history together. Is that the place they're going to come together? And I feel like, you know, when Filoni says we're in the right area code, we're definitely in the right space. I think he means like, in general, yes, this film will be a coming together of some of these characters. Yep, that's in general what this is. But I think when he says, I think it's going to be a clamoring of characters saying, how do I get in this picture? He's definitely saying it with a sense of humor. He's definitely saying it as a joke, right? He's putting it from the perspective like Boba Fett is raising his hand, or Fennec Shand or Zeb are raising their hand going, hey, can I get in? And Cobb Vanth is raising his hand, you know, the motorbike punk gang Book of Boba Fett that people don't like, the space Vespas. Maybe they're clamoring to get in.
Trash, leading them across.
Yes. Trash. Trash crashes her space Vespa into Thrawn's super weapon.
Oh my gosh.
And crisis averted. Now, I think there is, I think he's trying to be honest without spilling the beans like he always does. And I think definitely phrasing it in a fun and jokey way. And to me, the way I would take a clamoring of characters saying, how do I get in this picture? It is exactly what John Favreau goes on to say, which, you know, we're going to talk about is, yep, no, the characters have to make sense in the story or the characters aren't going to be there. And I think knowing that Filoni in particular, but Favreau too, loves all the characters they've played with. I'm sure in their minds, like Pelle is raising her hand going, I'd like to be in there too. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, we love Amy Sedaris. Wouldn't it be great if she's in there? Does it work? Does it make sense? Because of course we'd like to. You know, I think for me, I kind of take it as a little bit of the old writing wisdom of, you know, if you're a writer and you have a favorite line or a favorite beat that you really want to include, but then at the end of the day, you just got to be like, does it work? Does it make sense? Or do you, you know, that's where the whole kill your babies, kill your darlings comes from. So that's the way I take it of like, we would like to include every character, but do they make sense?
Yeah, no, you're both answering this so wonderfully. I really love the idea of these characters clamoring to get into the film, you know, knocking on the door. And maybe in some cases with like Tamora Morrison, literally knocking on the door. Can I get into the film? I'm going to go to a convention. I want to talk about this here. But it makes a lot of sense that the expectations for all these characters to show up is there. I just like the vibe of these kind of, you know, jokey answers of yeah. We're building a universe, but throwing around the connecting universe. I still keep going to this. Filoni just kind of saying quietly in an interview recently, like when asked, you know, does this, Mando 3 lead into Ahsoka? Like, no, I wouldn't say that. Like that kind of like, no, I want you all to make sure that this is its own thing, but it's part of the same timeline and it's maybe emotionally connected and maybe there's some actual connections, but it's not that. And maybe that's the Marvel effect. And, but I don't even know if that's fair for Marvel. I don't know. Sometimes I think that criticism of Marvel of it's just a commercial for the next one. I totally get where that comes because the end credit scenes, all this, I understand the vibe, but I don't even know if that's fair to the movies on an individual basis, but I'll let others speak on that there. John talked about the story needing to drive what characters both from existing shows and EU legends show up in these kind of stories in the movie. And I think we both kind of touch upon that Jen, but it's kind of comforting to hear that, right? Even though I could imagine that they've got a handle on that. They're not just going to throw Talon Card in there because they read the books.
Exactly. And I think that this is an example of where I saw the discourse on Twitter and it was very, very negative about them, you know, having fun picking their characters. And I just kind of had to laugh because when I watched this interview and I listened to the podcast, they were very, very thoughtful about discussing how they mm-hmm. approach the story, how they include the characters. For example, when they talked about the process of determining who would save Grogu, you know, they said, who would we expect to see? Who would fans expect to see? And do we even need to see this person's face? Like, they're going through all the different scenarios. They're not just being like, yeah, let's just bring Ahmed Best back. Like, no, mm-hmm. everything that they do is very, very deliberate. And yes, they're having fun. And yes, they're imagining, ooh, if I had this action figure, whatever. But like, it is a very serious business. And they're very careful about which characters they include and why. There is clearly a why behind each one.
Mm. A big why. We love those whys in Star Wars, Joseph, and the why of Talon Card would be important.
Yeah. And I think for me, the why is always there. And I truly understand sometimes it doesn't work for people, and even they don't agree with the why, or they see the why and they're still like, not for me. I get that for people who are really hungering for decades for a Boba Fett show, that it feels jarring to spend two episodes mostly with Din Djarin and Grogu. But there's a why there. They feed into a Boba Fett story. They reflect Boba Fett's story. It's crucial to the climax. It's crucial to Boba Fett's argument that you need a tribe. Me, that's just an example of supporting what you're both saying of, I think there's always a why. I think for me, in order to try to control wild speculation, I just kind of want to go back to, what do they actually say? Mm-hmm. What do the creators say? And so far, what they have said, what they announced about what this movie is a culmination of the Mandoverse. Okay, plenty of different ways to take that. Mm-hmm. But they've said it's about the New Republic having to face down a serious Imperial remnant. Mm-hmm. That's what we truly know. That's what was said on stage at Star Wars Celebration. Mm-hmm. Could that be an adaptation of Heir to the Empire? I think there are a lot of clues that point in that general direction. But if we take it as, here's the story. We've been building up in the Mandoverse that it's not just about these characters. It's about these characters living through this specific age and through all these characters trying to have a new beginning, and some of them being really successful and some of them kind of stumbling and falling back into the problems of the past, heading toward the sequel trilogy. We're telling the story of this era. So if this movie is about the New Republic versus an Imperial remnant, if it is an adaptation, a version of Heir to the Empire, then it makes total sense to me what they're saying of proceeding from that. Who needs to be there? Would Boba Fett and Fennec Shand have a reason to fight that battle? What's personal to them that they would leave Tatooine and get involved in that? Or does the battle come there? If this is an adaptation of Heir to the Empire and Leia isn't there, why not? Why isn't she involved? That's a why question. You're joking about Talon Card, but like, some of these big players from that era who've not yet made their way back into new canon, Talon Card, Joris Saboth, do they fit into this version of the narrative? I think those are all the why questions that are being asked. They know the story.
Mm-hmm.
They know what they want the big picture story about the New Republic versus this Imperial remnant to be. Now, who are the characters who are going to best motivate that?
But basically the only question is Mara Jade, right? That's the only one.
Mara Jade, I think my biggest question is Jude Law, Joris Saboth. That's really what's keeping me awake at night.
You know, that's a good one to go on as well. No, I really get what you're saying here and love it. Even as you're talking, you reminded me that technically we haven't even seen the true threat emerge. You know, like, we've seen it. We've seen around. We've seen Gideon. We've heard the name Thrawn. We know it's there. If you were at a convention, you saw a face. But the threat hasn't emerged for me yet. And that's exciting. I mean, in an exciting way. Like, they're still getting a chance to form this. And there's big stakes. And I love that the why that we get to explore this era, which is generally leading to the final thought around this. Is John and Dave, they said a lot of interesting things in this interview. And I like that you pointed out, Jen, there's some great answers, sincerity. They really love this stuff. And John and Dave talked about getting to play in this post-Return of the Jedi era, including in the conversation that this is an opportunity that has emerged via success of shows like Mando and Book of Boba Fett and the impending, what I'm sure will be, success of Ahsoka. Let's put some faith out there. And that there's some other supplemental. There's a lot of interview stuff out there right now. But Filoni saying there was another one I was reading this weekend of, you know, we especially in the third season of Mando, felt we had a chance to build the climate, the political climate, the era of what's really going on, because that really wasn't what season one of Mando was about. It was expanding into that world. We keep saying the show has kind of grown, and this is a Force Center thought of it. The show's kind of expanded and connected to the galaxy as the character has expanded his horizons and connected with the larger story. So they finally get a chance to do this where they didn't know. They didn't know if they'd get a season two. They don't know that. There's the business side. So I think they both talk with great excitement of now having this playing field, and Dave and then John bringing it back to their youths, which is roughly our youths as well, of always wondering, you mentioned it earlier, Jen, what happens to Luke and Leia and Han and everyone after Return of the Jedi? And because of the real world time, even Favreau says, hey, it's almost like a real world time jump to episode 7. Now we get to go back, and that's exciting. And I was going to ask us, as original trilogy era fans, and this is something that, you know, it's always our perspective because it's the only perspective we have. What do we think? What do we currently think about finally getting into this era after all these years, Jen?
I love it. And John and Dave, they really are like us. When I got a chance to meet with them briefly at Star Wars Celebration last year, and I asked them just like a couple questions, and they just were going on, and it just felt like I was talking with friends, because they have the similar experiences that we have of growing up with the original trilogy and imagining all these different scenarios with these characters, the same types of things that we did as kids, right? And I think that that's why I love the Mandoverse so much, is because it has that heart to it. I also like it because we have such a variety in Star Wars content now. We can have a very serious, dramatic show like Andor, which feels more adult. But then we can have more of that swashbuckling adventure with the Mandoverse. And I think that that's what people sometimes get. They kind of forget is that you don't have to like everything, right? Maybe some things, like I'm not playing the video games because I just know I can't handle that. And that's okay, right? I'm not going to begrudge anybody else who likes those games. Because again, I saw some people online criticizing the Mandoverse, and it made me a little sad, because I'm like, they're doing their own thing and they're very passionate creators, and I love it. You know, what am I going to say?
No, I'm with you. The joke's always made about Carson Teva showing up and wondering what's going on and how that represented me, is because I had a little bit of that, like, all right, Mando's in this 5 years after, and where's Leia? And I know realistically we can't get that. And I just remember at one point when it started to dawn at me, like, oh, I know we are in this era. And some of those things might emerge, and it's not connected stories. It's not those answers. We always say it's just the stories to learn, and they're in the right spot. They're of this generation too, of going in and finally getting a chance to look at EU Legends and pull what works, pull what excites them. And that's why I think we're always trying to preach, not even beyond the speculate responsibly, but just like, hey, brace for impact a little bit on your expectations. It's not necessarily Luke is not necessarily going to show up if you wanted all those kind of things. But at the end of the day, I really like their answers. This is a short little interview, but it just, it seems like they're having fun with this, Joseph, and how dare they?
Yeah, I think it is an ongoing sense of fun, but also a sense of responsibility, a sense of depth, I think, to me, is always, it's just fine if somebody's like, you know what, I enjoyed the first season of Mando, the first two seasons, and now it's just not for me. It is growing, it is changing, it's evolving, it should. Return of the Jedi is different from what became A New Hope. The prequels are different from the original trilogy. It should grow and change and evolve as the characters do, as you said so well, Ken. And I think the style of the Mandoverse and the style of Filoni has characters, generally speaking, very sincerely, a strong tie to the mythic, to the hero's journey that they keep talking about, a strong devotion to continue to make the argument of, we can put the coolest, the darkest, the most serious, the most moving right next to the most playful and the silly. And that is just sort of a statement from these two creators and the entire team they've built up around them of what the kind of Star Wars they like. So I'm excited to have them continue to explore that original trilogy era with perspectives to me that feel like they are growing out of the ingredients of the original trilogy, mm-hmm. which is the mythic right up to right next to the deadly cool, right next to the very silly and playful mm-hmm. and the values of family and working together and found family and all those things. So I'm really enjoying the Mandoverse, and I'm really excited for them to push into what used to be Legends EU. And I feel like in mm-hmm. some ways, Filoni's quote about the and Favreau's about the EU is the most important quote in this mm-hmm. in this discussion. The who's going to show up? Is it going to be an Avengers thing? Those quotes are interesting and fun to speculate. Are Ahsoka and Din Djarin the main characters? But this quote from Filoni, he says, "It's a part of the timeline that probably for me and you growing up with the original trilogy, Return of the Jedi was the end. But then you're always like, what happens next? And then when Episode 7 was set so many years later, like probably when I was a kid, I never would have thought it would have been that much later, but it made mm-hmm. sense. It created an opening where you go, wow. So a lot of the things that maybe we knew before are probably in there. How do we excavate that?" Mm-hmm. And Favreau follows up with, "We didn't have movies. We had comics and books, EU Legends. A lot of that works really well." Mm-hmm. To me, at this point, they're just explicitly saying, even if it's not a direct adaptation of Heir to the Empire, I think they're saying we are dealing with those same ideas mm-hmm. of what's happening to the galaxy, what's maybe happening to our main characters of Luke and Han and Leia as they're trying to move on from the Empire, but it keeps kind of grasping yeah. for them. How does that affect them? The stories that you imagine of when Luke goes, okay, I am a Jedi like my father before me. Well, what does he do next?
What does that mean?
He starts a school. Leia has to choose whether she wants to be a Jedi or help run the government. Han's got to struggle with being like, great, so now I'm just like a married guy.
Stepping on Legos, yeah.
But I'm still restless, and I don't really want to be part of a military, but I'm not going to let anybody go for my wife or my Wookiee buddy, so I got to pick up my blaster and do stuff. Like, yeah. all those ideas feel like they're kind of explicitly saying, along with the Thrawn of it, maybe the Mara Jade of it, that this is really what we're interested in, that's where we're headed, is how does some of the legend storytelling fit in here, and how can we adapt it to fit in with modern canon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And as someone who's been on the record to say it, I would disagree, John, to a certain degree that it all works or it all worked. I had some big issues this interview, and I love that quote, Joseph, because it did get me going. Well, they're pulling again themes. They're pulling what works, what inspires them, and it's a chance. Follow me here to actually go and just kind of edit some work that's already done, right? We as creators all want to go back and just go, well, if I could re-put that out there and clean it up a little bit, or my perspective has changed, and you know, it's that editing process, that rework and that rewriting. In a weird way, that's the comfort I'm taking, where this isn't Yuuzhan Vong or Chewie in a Moon. This is something bigger. It's bigger, right? And if you love those stories, and the Yuuzhan Vong joke always kind of hangs over a lot of these conversations, but you know what? They could find a way to make that work. I think I mm-hmm. have more excitement for it than I ever have, just based on this little interview, which is why I wanted to get your your thoughts on it and discuss it. It was, it made sense. You could see like I keep saying, but the fun, the passion for it, and what worked and what kept Star Wars going for them, particularly Dave, during this era, because that was what worked for a lot of folks, and I'm excited.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and you know, combine this quote with Filoni's really impassioned speech that he gave at Star Wars Celebration at that Lucasfilm panel about mm-hmm. the power and importance of seeing Heir to the Empire standees at B. Dalton's in the 90s, yeah. that there's a huge amount of respect being thrown to that era. Final very quick thought, too. Like, I think when I talk about adapting it into modern canon, I don't just mean, you know, the Mandoverse canon or the mm-hmm. Disney era canon. I also mean, like, hey, when a lot of this Legends stuff was written, Lucas hadn't made the prequels yet. And a lot of ideas about the Jedi and attachment were not solidified into what is now Star Wars canon. So I think it's not just modern canon that the Legends stuff mm-hmm. is going to be married with. It's going to be like the canon of Lucas and mm-hmm. in the Clone Wars and also in decades of canon.
Mm-hmm. I really agree with that, Jen. Yeah.
Yeah. And like Kathleen Kennedy also did an interview that was on the Entertainment Weekly site. And she was talking about what makes Lucasfilm unique is that all the creators are talking to each other, all the departments. And she said that doesn't always happen. And because they all are talking together, they all are kind of getting on the same page and they're all figuring out what's going to work best for the story, what's going to work best for the canon. And I think that that's really exciting, not to mention their in-house, you know, ILM, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. That also is a huge advantage. And so I think that what they're doing with this new era is really, really exciting.
Excited indeed. Excited indeed. And, you know, what would you tell your 7-year-old self going back to hey, look, we're finally going to get to answer some of these questions directly. So be fun. Be fun. We'll, of course, keep you updated on more interviews, hints, and clues. Final thing of the day. It's our This Week in Star Wars History, looking ahead to Star Wars Past. And I want to look ahead to Thursday this week. It's May 4th. And so there was an actual posting about kind of where May the 4th be with you was first really mentioned. I was like, well, we're not going to talk about that. It's a complicated history thing there. We're going to go, instead of looking back, we're going to look ahead to this Thursday. It's, as I said, May the 4th, and it will be with us all. What does this day mean to us now? We've addressed in the past that it was something that didn't really exist for fandom, whether it was there or not. It just was maybe a pun that you acknowledge, but power social media has turned it into something else, Jen. And so what does this day, May the 4th, mean to you?
Well, it means for this year, I'm going to get Star Wars donuts again. And I'm going to watch the Young Jedi Adventures with my kids. And we've been talking about it and I'm really, really excited. It's going to be a low key, but still very festive Star Wars day. But in years past, I remember when really it was only Star Wars fans online that were, celebrating, that even knew what Star Wars Day was and the joke of May the 4th be with you, the average person kind of thought it was a little weird. Like, why are you wearing all your Star Wars stuff? Is there something going on? Now it's become, and I, you know, not going to be a grumpy fan, but like it's become very commercialized. Mm-hmm. And it's all about these different brands that are trying to capitalize on it. And some are kind of fun and some are kind of like, ugh. So that's why this year I was like, I really want to go back to what it is about and why I started celebrating it, which was, and why I made videos back in the day about it. It's about a way to connect with fellow fans. And it's really just a way to just celebrate this, you know, fandom that I love so much and these stories that I love so much and now sharing it with my kids. That's what it's about for me now.
Love that. That's a great answer. That is a great answer. Oh, my computer's updated. We're all ready. May the 4th is updated. We're updated. Joseph, I know you and I have discussed this, I think, in a few places of, we don't necessarily love puns or word plays, and I might have been a little snarky towards this holiday in the past, but it is definitely something else. What does it mean to you now?
Yeah, I think for me that is the growth of where I first encountered it was kind of early days of me being all in on social media. I'm talking 2010, 2011, 2012. Mm-hmm. May the 4th was almost like a meme on social media at the same level as Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Particularly
with the way I was engaging with social media at the time was, Twitter was a big party and it was good for my career. I was meeting people and then staying connected to them. And it was a time where the retweets really had reach and they made a difference. So for me, it was like, hey, I love Star Wars. I'm not big on puns, so I'm going to poke a little bit on that this is predicated on a pun. But I'm going to try to make the best fun-loving Star Wars joke I can and try to connect. Mm-hmm. And it's been really interesting to see it grow. I agree, Jennifer, of like, yep, anybody who can print a Grogu on anything is like,
yeah.
This May the 4th, buy a Grogu peanut, totally get that. But I also think it has grown so far from a meme to where can real connection happen.
Right.
I was, like I said, when I went to the Ben Burtt talk, this last weekend at the Academy Museum, got to talk to one of the people who puts on these events, and was really happy to be talking about everything they had lined up for May the 4th. And one of the big one is it's like some crafts for family. Exactly. Get out into the physical world and connect with it, connect with other people who care about it. I also think that that May the 4th going from a kind of a meme, a joke, to a true real life celebration, everything from good real life connection to this avalanche of merchandising tie-ins. Mm-hmm. That to me, it's a reflection of how much pop culture has truly become part of people's lives, part of the people they know, part of the way that they process their life and connect. And we have days, not just like May the 4th, we have Star Trek's First Contact Day. It's a little smaller and bleaker, but we have Twin Peaks Black Launch Day, which celebrates not a great day for one of the main characters in Twin Peaks, but it celebrates the community that has grown up and how much these stories mean to people. So I think that's the thing for me, is that I like May the 4th is a celebration of this is what it truly means to people. And I'm going to see a screening of Return of the Jedi on May the 4th. And it's probably the most physical in the world thing I've done for May the 4th. And I'm really excited to see what is the energy, what is the vibe, how much does it truly feel like I'm going to a holiday event?
No, I love all that. That's where I've ended up, of just a chance for, I don't know, it's a chance for those friends we have who don't listen to podcasts or don't watch, Andor until it's been out 2 months because life didn't allow them to. And they're like, hey, you like Star Wars, right? This is a chance for us to celebrate it. And I love that. And that's something that I think I would have fought against in the past because I was a little more grumpy and snarky, believe it or not. and that's where I was with you. The Talk Like the Pirate Day comparison, Joseph, is spot on. The eye roll that I would give May the 4th because of that. And I celebrated every day. It was like when your favorite band becomes too popular. I had the EP before the album. And that doesn't help yourself or anyone or the thing you love. And I love where it is that now. And yeah, commercialized, of course. And you can choose to push past that as we all three of us are there. I've been added to a comedy show Thursday night. That's a Star Wars comedy show. We'll see how that goes. I don't know if they've pulled Star Wars loving comics. We'll find out, but it's just kind of a chance to celebrate this thing on a larger scale. And it's a great thing. So there you go. From wordplay beginnings to a galactic wide celebration of the thing we love. Hope you all have a good Star Wars day this week. We're out of here. We're going to head on down the road, but here's where you can find us. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. Subscribe over there. Got a new episode of Figure Fights the week after. That's a great one. So catch up to the first 7 episodes on YouTube there. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're available on a lot of spots. Just search. You'll find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. And as we said up top, you can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. So many wonderful new names, new Force Center friends in our Discord. You can follow me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com, for links, like I said, to things like tickets to this comedy show if you're local on May the 4th. But if you're not local, don't worry. Just go watch Return of the Jedi in your living room if you can't get to a theater. That's that. Jennifer, where can they find and follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram and YouTube at Jennifer Landa. And you know, Star Wars Day is like the Yub Nub song and it's now grown to victory celebration. The whole galaxy is celebrating. You can also find me on TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138.
There you go. I love both songs there. Mm-hmm. I said, just where can they find and follow you and your victory celebration thoughts?
Weeza Free. Weeza Free. I can't wait to watch that with a bunch of other human beings. That's going to be great. You can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Mastodon, YouTube. All of those are under the handle at Joseph Scrimshaw, or the name Joseph Scrimshaw. So just search for that and I'll pop up. Hopefully more comedy bits and short films coming to YouTube very soon. I do want to mention again this survey. If you're interested in helping us out, it takes about 2 minutes, 10 questions. It is again surveymonkey.com/r/VJK8K79. Thank you for checking that out.
Thank you all indeed. All right, that's it for this week. So for Talon Card, who's definitely on the way to Star Wars, we'll see you next time here on Force Center.
Hey, Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.